Newton now. Father God, we thank you so much for this guy, the encouragement that he is to so many of us. And more than anything tonight, I pray that you will speak to us individually, whether it's a word, a sentence, a line that Newton says, whether it's nothing to do with what he says. Lord, we just want to hear from you tonight. Lord, please change our lives and give this guy boldness as he speaks to us tonight. Amen.
Good evening. Evening to you all. Jumbo. Jumbo. See, Jumbo is the response. That's Swahili for saying, how are you guys? Is there, Jumbo means, is there any news? See, Jumbo, you say there's not a lot of news. It's good to be with you all. I'm sure we have met with most of you. Perhaps most of you will be here at the point. Some of you, obviously, because I am a youth worker or youth minister. I actually don't like the title youth minister. It's only that it's the legal term that I have to use to get my visas approved. If I call myself youth worker, I wouldn't. Some of you, obviously, we've met at Leighton Hall, or praying for you or dancing alongside you during worship. Some of you could be school's work that I do. So you all have something you would say if I was to ask you, who am I? But what's important tonight is for us to focus on, who does Jesus say you are? And what does God say you are? Yourself and myself. Because if we saw ourselves as God wanted to see us, things would start to change. All of us, how many have got their phones with them? Do you still have the manual for the phone? Obviously, some of the cooler phones, you don't need the manual. It's inside the phone. But if you read the manual or the production or the manufacturer's guide of every item, that is the only way you can get to know why they were made and how they were meant to operate. And even ourselves, as we think about our lives, we have to ask ourselves, what does the one who designed us say about us? What does our manufacturer, if I was to use that term, what does the one who planned and intended you and I to be, what does he say about us? Because obviously all of us have different identities. We are known differently at different circumstances. But what does God think about you? Because if we get that right, then our lives would start to transform. I have a clicker here. I'll just check whether it works. Does it switch everything off? Great. So that's a long list of things that I can identify with. I am a son, obviously, of my mom and dad. I'm a grandson to my grandparents. I'm a nephew, I'm a husband to Irene. I've got a long list of things. I'm a brother to my 5 siblings. I'm Black African. I'm Kenyan. And in Kenya, we have tribes. I'm one of these 43 tribes. And one of the tribes is called Kikuyu. So that's one of the tribes I come from. I've got things that I can identify with as my biggest regrets. Sort of the words I have said, some of them follow me if I say them, especially when we are arguing with my wife when things go wrong, and I say things that I feel like I shouldn't have said that. And some of the words we say like can follow us so long, and we can identify with them, because oftentimes when we say things to people, they remind us that you actually are the one who gave me names. Someone like Cheds, he can always remember the guy who called him that first time. He always remembers that person. So words can make a big difference, and we can identify with those things. Best music, I love a category of music called Christian Indie. If you don't know what that is, see me after and I can explain. But we have so many things that describe who we are, and we identify with these things. It could be our Christianity, because obviously there are different religions and Christianity is one of them. and we can identify ourselves as Christians. I can identify myself as a youth minister. I have got lots of friends amongst you guys. I do write a bit of poetry. I always say I wouldn't qualify myself as a poet, but I've written a lot of poetry. Sometimes I used to blog. I haven't done that for a long time. I'm an Arsenal fan. I don't know whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's one of the things that I can identify myself with. I have lots of cousins. I prefer Marvel to Disney. How many are with me on that? Just a few. The rest are a few for you guys. I like blue. Blue is my favorite color. I don't like pink at all. But that's me. Sorry? My biggest fear is death. Whether it's my own death or death of a close one, I just fear death. That's obviously everything else that people fear can lead to death, but that's for me the biggest. Those are things that I can identify with. How about yourself? What are some of those things? Obviously, if you were to do such a list, you would have some of those things would still stay the same. If you're a boy, you would say you're a son, and for girls, you'd say you're a daughter. But those are different things that describe or define who we are. There is an icebreaker for us, just to get us talking a bit. If you could change anything about yourself, what would you change? And if you could be someone else, who would you be? Just chat to the person next to you. Pick one of the questions. Don't do both of them. Just one of them. So how many of us have gone for question one and they have something they would change? Hands up. If you could change anything about yourself, what would you change? Anyone who's got... How many of us have nothing they would change? They would still want to be the way they are. We've got a few hands up. Yeah, okay. So for those who said if they could change anything about themselves, anyone who wants to share what they would change? Yes, Jacob, what would you change?
A bit taller.
He would want to be a bit taller. Who else said they would want to change something?
What would you want to change?
Yeah, let's check here.
Taller, shorter.
Shorter? Right, there's so many things that... We have in us that we feel like I would love a bit of more of that, less of that. But there are some things we can't change. I'm not promising you guys who want to be slightly shorter or slightly taller that but at the end of the talk you will have done achieved that. But there are so many things we would love to change. How about the second one? If you could be someone else, who would you be? Any responses for that? Yes? Jesus. Lovely. All of his life, dying on the cross, all of those things put together, being born on Christmas Day, debatable. So you would want to take all of Jesus' identity. How many of us would want to be Jesus? And why? Why would you want to be Jesus? Let's hear some of the responses. Why would you want to be Jesus? What part of Jesus amazes you most?
Everything.
Be a bit specific. Just two things.
Yes. Everybody.
Apart from that.
I don't know. Just everything. You get walk on water.
Sarah is very interested about turning water into wine. But actually, Jesus says that when we believe in him and when we become God's children, he actually says we can do more things than he can do, which is interesting. And he allows a bit of him to dwell in us. I've always wanted to be like Nelson Mandela, the late, because of his achievements. But I have known that however much I would want to be like him, I wouldn't be him. I could only be second best to him. So it's best that I stick with who I am. So we've got the next one, which is just for us to try and see whether we know who these people are. Oh, I've ruined it. Can we get the next one after that? Right, so for those who are concentrating, they will have seen who those guys are. The first one, let's all say who, if we know who the first one is. Obama, obviously. The second one, the one at the top. The middle top. Ariana Grande, if you saw the next slide, you will have known. The third one, the Queen. Fourth one. Who is the fourth one? Yeah, that's me. Final one. Right, so these people will have obviously looked different in their young age. I haven't changed a lot. That was when I was in year 7, equivalent of year 7. But we have identities that span back many years. But sometimes our identities could be found on how we look like, our appearances. But that's not actually Jesus' emphasis. To help us look through what Jesus would want to see us, I will use a parable that Jesus told the people that he was talking to. And this is a very famous parable because most of you will have heard of it. It is one of the best stories ever told. It's the parable of the lost son. For those of you who have got their Bibles, if you can go with me to the book of Luke. If you don't have a Bible, there are a few at the side. You can go and collect some. If you have your Bibles on your phones, you're allowed to use them. We are looking at the book of Luke, chapter 15. And we're going to look at verse 11 to 32. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 to 32. Yeah, it's on the the reading is not on the screen, but the passage, you can follow there. So back in the days when they didn't have any written Bibles, people would gather around together near a fireplace and they would listen to the elderly men as they told the stories. So I don't want to lose any of you as I read this story. Assume you are in those days. So listen carefully. If you're reading, just follow carefully. The Bible says, and this is Jesus' words, and he says, Jesus continued and he said, there was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had, set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country. And he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. So when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare? And here I am, starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men. So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. When he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him, What's going on? Your brother has come back, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes, he comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. So we'll be looking in the next few minutes, we'll be looking at the three characters in this story. Who are the three characters in this story? Yes, we've got who and who? The younger and the older brother, and who is the third one? The father. So we'll be looking at these three characters to help us see our identity in Christ. Oftentimes, obviously, because the story is called the story of the prodigal son or the lost son, oftentimes people think about the son who went away. And he is the one who gets all the attention. However, we're going to look at the son who goes away. And then we're going to look at this son who remains at home. And then we're going to look at the father's embrace of the son when he comes back. But also his words to the firstborn son who stays at home. So the son who goes away, oftentimes we don't want to be identified with him because he looks like he's a weird one. He's the one who has got it wrong. He wants to go and pave his own way. He asks for his share. In those days, in his culture, asking for your dad's estate or asking for your inheritance, it signified that you wished your dad was dead, because they would only give their portion to their children when they were on their deathbed. So at this point, this son has gone to his dad and said, I want my property, I want my wealth, give me what belongs to me, and let me go and spend it. So he is someone who is a spendthrift. He is a miser. He spends everything that he has. He goes to a distant land. He wants to go and explore his own way of life. He doesn't think his dad knows enough. He is a loner. He is very lonely. He goes away from home. Oftentimes when we leave home, we oftentimes feel very lonely. He wants his estate. And he goes and finds things. Things don't go very well for him. And when we think about our identity, some of us are on a path of trying to do our own stuff. We feel like this God stuff isn't mine. I can go and work out my life somewhere else. Remember what I said at the beginning. God has our manufacturer's guide in his hands. Obviously, he is the one who designed each of us, whether we like it or not. But when we live outside that identity, we are sort of behaving like this son. And what does that give to us? It is a journey of perpetual dissatisfaction. You don't get satisfied because you have gone away from your actual root. That's the first son. We see him struggling. We see him having to feed pigs because he has lost his initial identity from home. He is a rebellious one. He doesn't care a lot about what happens. But as we were singing in the song, God's love or his father's love is still inside him. Because for those of us, because all of us have a God thing in us, we always have something that signals us back to God. There's something that connects us to God. We can try and kill that inner voice, but it still comes back. So what we saw in the passage, this man discovers and he remembers. He says, I know most of my dad's servants are eating well. They have something to eat. But here I am. I have nothing even for my stomach. So that's the first character, the rebellious one, the one who would want to make his own identity. But we have a second one, the one who stays at home. This is the one oftentimes we do not regard as the prodigal one. The reason is because he doesn't go away. He stays at home. He does all the good stuff. So he is the conforming one. He doesn't harm anyone. He is like those Christians or people in church who say, I'm going to read the Bible. I'm going to pray. I'm going to go to church. Attend every point, attend every Lenten hall. He is like that. He is the one who feels like the other one owes him because he is working every day in the farm. He does all things right. For him, he is the insider. He belongs there. So he has also worked out his identity at home. Remember, there is two characters. There is one who rebels and goes away. There is one who stays at home. But if we look at his response when his brother comes back, it leaves a lot to be desired and asked. He is not happy that his brother is back. Actually, he is complaining to his dad. He says to his dad, you have never even given me a goat. Like, that's this. On the list of animals, he thinks that's the least, the one that's worthless. He says to him, you haven't even given me one goat to celebrate with my friends. So for him, he is at home with the dad, does everything, but he hasn't worked out his identity as well. Because he thinks his identity is tied to his dad's property. He thinks his identity is tied to what he gets from home. He thinks his identity is tied to how he is treated. And he thinks his other brother who is rebellious doesn't deserve to be at home. So both of them have got their identity wrong. So there is the bad guy, the rebellious one. There is the good one who stays at home. But both of them have what we call an identity crisis. Because one of them thinks, actually, on his way back, the rebellious one, he doesn't think his dad will accept him back as a son. And he goes back thinking, because of what I did, that bad thing that I did, he's not going to accept me. The one who stays at home thinks, because of the many things I have done, my dad has an obligation of treating me better than the one who goes away. Oftentimes in our Christian faith, we feel like, I do so much for this Jesus. It's payback time. Let him do something for me. That's the feeling of the son who stays at home. Others will feel, I have done so much wrong. I don't think he can accept me back the way as a child of God. And these things oftentimes bring us to a crisis of our identities. So we have these two sons. But what does the dad do? What's his reception when they come back home? He embraces them. He shows, he opens his arms. Those days, a man of his age was not expected to run. It is very unusual. He would be sitting on an old seat waiting for the son to come back. So he does extraordinary things. He runs towards his son. And he embraces him, the one who was lost. And he kisses him with acceptance and love as a welcome back. So he is not treating him according to what he has done, which was wrong. But the one who stays at home is complaining. He thinks he deserves better. Our identity in Christ is not tied on what we do, whether it's something good or whether it's something bad. The Bible says Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is what matters. So he doesn't ask us to do things in the right way so that he can love us. He doesn't question us because of doing things in the wrong way. He doesn't send us away. He embraces us because of his love. So these two characters bring us into two categories of things that I want us to look at. So thinking of the one who stayed at home, there's something we call, I'm sure most of us have watched that video by a guy who talks about Christianity, and he makes a big difference between our relationship with God and our religiosity. And this is the biggest difference that we would want to make. So the guy who stays at home, he is the conforming one. He is the traditional one who does all the good stuff. He is a conservative. He is moral. He lives his life in a clean way. He's self-righteous. He's obviously proud. He is an insider. He thinks he belongs there. And he is the one who is judgmental. He judges his other brother. He thinks he has everything held together. The one who goes away, he is sort of the one who wants to invent his own way. He's breaking the laws and going outside the boundaries. He's out of the norm and routine. He wants to discover his own identity. He is sort of disobedient and he takes advantage. Both of them have got their identity wrong, because that's not what it's about. It is not about what you and I do, whether it's something good or bad. It is about what Jesus has done at the cross. So we have a third category. So there is goodness versus badness, but there is a third category, which is godliness. And that is what Jesus introduces as we sort of come to a close. Godliness is what matters. It is the love of God for us. It is not how good we are. Because if it's about what we do and how much we achieve, if we do not achieve, we feel very frustrated. It is not our goodness that matters to God in our identity. It's not a bad thing to be a good guy, but we have to remember that that is not big enough to earn us a place in God's kingdom. It is not about our being rebellious. Obviously, we have regrets, we have made mistakes, we have things that we don't like about ourselves because we have done them or said them. But that is not the end as well. It is what Jesus has done on the cross. It is what the sacrifice that he has given for us. All other religions ask us to do things. Islam tells us, you have to do this so that you can earn your place in God's kingdom, in Allah's kingdom. In Buddhism, you have to deny yourself of everything And all other religions have their way. They have a list of to-dos. But Christianity has a different approach. It doesn't say do. What does it say? It says done. It doesn't ask you to do stuff. It says God, through Jesus, has done stuff. And if we see our identity from the perspective of what God has done, everything will change. Because we cannot be so wrong, we cannot be so immoral or so bad for us not to earn his salvation. And again, we cannot be too good to be able to do it our own way. So our self-identity is tied on that, what Jesus has done for our lives. And that helps us to know that it is not how much we can achieve in our lives, but how much Jesus has done. And as we think about that, obviously, this may be like, I've heard that so many times. But if it hasn't impacted your life, if you haven't identified with him fully, it is hard to see the sense of this. So we have to remember that our identity is not the things that it's not. It is not what we do. It is not what we have achieved or things we have done right. It is not things we have done wrong. It is not what others think of us. It is not the way we look, our appearances. It is not even the friends we hang out with. But as we draw to a close, the main thing is that we are created in the image of God. Nothing is going to destroy that. Nothing will change that. We are created in the image of God. And that God knows us and he loves us. And that he died for us. Each one of you, even if it was only one person living in this world, he would still have died for you. Even if it was only one of us who lived on this earth, however tall, short, big, small, however upset or happy you are about yourself, even if it was only you, he would still have died for you. So we are forgiven, we are children of God, we are restored, and we are no longer slaves because God loves us and we are made complete in him. So now I've said so much, I'll give you some time to reflect as we come to a close. It could be that you're one of those sons. It could be that you think you're too cool and God has to love you. He has no choice. It could be that you feel like, I don't think I can belong to him because of maybe something wrong we have done in the past. So I've got a few Bible verses on the table there beneath that small cross. And those are Bible verses talking about our identity in Christ. Because as I said, if you want to know your actual and true identity, you have to refer to the manufacturer's manual, which is the Bible. That's where we have to find our reference. So at some point, you'll be able to go and just pick two or so number of verses, and look for them in the Bible in the actual context and see what they say. And then we'll get some time to pray. So I'm going to invite the band up. So as they play the music, you guys can walk and pick two verses. If you pick and find they're the same, there's a pair of each. You just have to swap one and pick a different one. Then go back to your sitting positions. And think about what we have said tonight, what speaks to you most. And then we'll have a time of prayer at the end.